You're a duck on my nose!
Tier Podcast, episode 37. I am Jordan B. Sanders, and I am joined across the interwebs by Mike the Hammer K. Kludzinski.
Sup, bras and brag girls.
We've got a podcast for you, and it's coming at you right now. Before we get into anything, our website is orderoftier.com. It is the place to be for all the latest goings on with Order of Tier, our music, our videos, our podcastery, our Facebookery and pictures and everything else.
Nudes.
I was totally going to say that. Yeah.
So, we don't joke around in Order of Tier.
It's serious business. So, orderoftier.com. Check that guy out. Send us questions for the podcast, podcast@orderoftier.com, so that we can answer them on the podcast and there will be more content. And while you're out on the internet, because I know you don't get out on the internet too often, it's a rare occasion that any of us do, but while you're out there, you might want to swing by Rainwave, which is rainwave.cc, massively multiplayer online video game radio.
It's sex, basically.
It is oral sex, and there's no other
oral sex.
No other way to describe it.
Yes.
So that's it for the plugging. On to the news. You want to share some news with us, Hammer K?
Man, what's been going on? That Shadows of the Damned game come out. It done come out. it came out. Apparently, that's pretty sweet. I still want to play that, but I have too many freaking games to play.
Oh, I know what you mean. But I think I have to make an exception for that one because it's Akira Yamaoka.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is true.
So,
how dare you not be playing that already?
Yeah, dude, tell me about it. How dare I not be playing every other game that I have on my list to play?
Yeah. Seriously.
But yeah, we got some Order of Tier news, too. Do you want to do that?
Yeah, so we've been working on the cover of Lady Gaga's Paparazzi, and we just finished that. I got to make some last-minute changes right after this podcast, and when are we going to be releasing that, Jables? Has Donna said anything about it?
I don't know. She was saying about doing some sort of video, or we were talking about doing a video for it, and then she was making some suggestions, so we got to figure out what we're going to do with that.
So I guess I'm assuming she's okay with the mix.
I haven't heard any negative feedback. Actually, I haven't heard any feedback about the mix from her, but...
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
It sounded pretty good to me, except for, like, you know, the one little thing that...
That little guy. Don't worry about that little guy. Assuming we figure out what the F we're doing, how we're going to release that, I guess we'll be releasing it sometime in the next week or something like that.
That would be cool, unless we end up doing an involved video, then that might take a little bit longer. But
yeah,
if it's just a simple video, then yeah, I would think so.
But it's worth the wait. It's pretty sweet. I think it turned out pretty excellent.
Yeah, definitely. I guess on that note, we also picked the next cover we're going to work on. I don't even remember the name of the song, so...
I don't either, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it's Donna picked it, and I'd never heard of the song until she picked it, but we're going to do it. Apparently, it's, like, really huge right now, because I looked on YouTube, and 76 million people had watched the video.
Crap.
Yeah. So, I guess that's a little bit popular. Just a little.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool video. It has some Jurassic Park cup in the water deal and some cocaine and, you know.
And some dude playing drums, and that's always good.
Yeah, and it does the whole the lights are flashing with the drums thing. You know, it's cool.
Yeah.
Let's see what else is going on musically. I think that's about it.
Pretty much at this point. We're about to start working, or I am, on the Mixwave theme song. I guess we haven't dropped that bomb, but whatever.
We haven't dropped the other bomb either. Should we drop that bomb?
What other bomb?
The one about James and the massacre of cinemas.
Oh, yeah. Well, we, that's still a little less certain.
Yeah.
Well, if okay. Let's do the Rainwave thing. We are going to be writing the theme song for the Mixwave station. There's actually the old version of it was called V-Wave, and it had I guess what was apparently a joke theme song, and so we thought, oh, that'd be cool if we could do a theme, like a real theme song for the new one. And we asked them, and they were like, hell yeah. So we were like, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're gonna hell yet.
Oh man, every time somebody says that, I just think about that band and how in the world they ever came up with that name. You know, they were all probably sitting around a campfire, like they just got done cutting their lawns on their John Deere's and stuff. They're sitting around a campfire with Bud Light, like, we need a name for our band. Hell yeah! Hell yeah, that's it, hell yeah.
Is that really a band's name?
Dude, yes.
Dude, that's ridiculous.
They play like that country rock or whatever.
Oh yeah.
I don't even remember what it's called.
So like pop country now, basically.
I guess it's pop. Like it's kind of like mainstream country metal rock.
Metal.
It's not very metal. it has the singer from Mudvayne in it.
What?
Yeah. How have you not heard of Hell Yeah?
I don't know. I probably have heard of it, but I thought somebody was just saying Hell Yeah.
Good point.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Country music's one of those genres that's really hard for me to get into.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I love bluegrass. Don't get me wrong about that, though. I love bluegrass, but country music, I don't know. It's just not my thing.
Yeah, I can't really handle all the yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
I think it's the steel guitar that really does it for me. Like the steel guitar inside like a rock context, you know? You know what I mean? Does that make sense? That just rubs me the wrong way.
Right, you're right. Yeah, I feel you.
Oh, dude, I let you hear that band Trampled by Turtles, right?
No.
Oh, yes, I did. It's like power metal bluegrass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not really power metal, but I mean, it's like bluegrass, like, on speed.
Yeah.
Man, that band's awesome. Well, let me put it this way. That song's awesome. I've only heard that one song that I... But that song's incredible.
That's pretty sweet. I want to look them up after this podcast.
Heck yeah, dude. I think that's about all the news, right?
I don't think anything else is going on.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. And an addendum or to last week's podcast when you guys were asking me a bunch of questions about like bands and stuff and songs and all that, I completely forgot to mention Epica and Nightwish.
Oh,
those bands are freaking awesome! And
How dare you?
Yeah, I know exactly. I was like, it was on the spot and it was rushed, and I was like, oh, and I forgot. Bands ever. I'm sure there are others that I forgot, but those are the ones that like really like over this past week I kicked myself multiple times.
Yeah.
How did I not even think of those? It's ridiculous. So yeah, I love those bands. I didn't say Typo Negative either. I like their stuff pretty well. They're pretty good, but nothing like Epica and Nightwish, man. Those bands freaking rule. Although, I'm going to get on the soapbox, too. I don't really like Nightwish's new singer so much. That's just me. I'm getting off of it now.
Well, that was a quick little session.
I didn't want to get raged, because, I mean, I do like their newest album. I mean, they're, you know, a lot of songs on it I think are good, but as a whole, there are songs on it I don't like, too. So I guess it's one way to put it, but I just don't really like the timbre of her voice, especially because it's pretty much an entire 180 from the way that Tario's voice was, their old singer.
Yeah, that's understandable. So what you been doing, Jables?
Man, I've been working, but beyond that, I actually I've played a little bit of video gaming, and I've played a little bit of movie watching, and I watched this movie, and I think you need to see it, and I think anybody that's a fan of video games should probably see it. But I'm just gonna go ahead and warn you, you have to brace yourself for some not awesome visuals. But it's awesome. A movie. I don't know how I found it on Netflix. I was just browsing through there. But it's called Gamebox 1.0.
That sounds fantastic.
Already. Yeah. Basically, it's the story of this video game tester who gets sent a new console to test. And that's pretty much all I'm going to say about it. Pretty much, if you have an hour and a half to kill, you need to watch this movie if you're a video game fan. It has some issues. Like, if I want to get like movie critic about it, I'm not really a movie critic, but it has some issues with pacing, and it's for as accomplished as it seems at the end, it was pretty short. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a really fast change in some of the characters, and it's like,
yeah, that's cool.
But I mean, you know, it's an independent film, and it's very independent from the visual aspect, you can tell. But I mean, I think it's pretty well written, and it was very entertaining. I liked it. I mean, it was pretty cool. Worth
that's
seeing,
cool.
Yeah. Danielle Fischel is in it. Topanga from Boy Meets World.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty random. I had no idea, and she like showed up. I was like, "Is that?"
What?
I wasn't sure at first.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah, and she was like the biggest actor in there too. Like everybody else is like, "Who the hell is this?"
Speaking of movies like that, you should watch Control Alt Delete.
I should watch that. That sounds like
it's about
like, what's that about?
It's about this nerdy guy. He's like some kind of programmer or something. And he...
Bro, you just dropped. I cannot hear you.
Hey, that was a cool story, bro. I just unplugged my freaking microphone from my computer.
That wasn't smart.
Yeah, I know. You'll have to edit that out.
I'm just going to leave it.
Okay, well, F me in the a-hole, I guess. So it's about this dude, and he becomes obsessed with his computer to the point where he wants to have sex with it. And he actually, like, cuts out a hole in the case and, like, puts bubble wrap or something in it so he can have sex with his computer. And the whole movie is about him raping computers, and, like, he rapes his boss's computer and stuff. And then, like, the grand finale is he rapes, like, the freaking mainframe at his office or something.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
Please tell me that's on Netflix.
Yes, that's where I watched it. I didn't buy that.
That is totally... I'm putting that in my queue right this second.
It's called Control-Alt-Delete.
Oh man, that how did you even find that?
I don't even know. Like, I was just—I think I was cruising around looking for something to watch because I was bored. I was cleaning or something, and it was like recently added, and so I was like, Control Alt Delete, and then I read about it, and it didn't actually—I don't remember what the description was, but I mean,
oh man, it's not on streaming. You have to get the DVD.
It's not anymore.
Oh no, that sucks.
Okay, well, you need to download it or something.
Jilted,
I mean,
by his girlfriend, programmer Lewis Henderson decides to take a different approach to love. But after internet porn stops thrilling him, he focuses his ardor on the computers in this deviant romantic comedy. Really? With his boss determined to find out who's been violating the office equipment.
Yeah, Lewis, that's exactly why I watched that one sentence right there with his boss.
Lewis tries to evade suspicion by dating mousy receptionist Jane Fredrickson, who turns out to be a bit kinky herself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you just need to watch it. And all of our listeners, Control-Alt-Delete. Find some way to watch this movie.
Okay, I'm going to have to add DVDs for a month just so I can watch this.
It's kind of worth it, not going to lie.
Well, I also there's another one. Have you heard of that the documentary Revolution OS?
No.
It's about like the development of Linux and like free software and open source and
all
that
stuff. Oh, I think
stuff.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's on Netflix, but of course it's only DVDs.
Right.
It's lame.
Me.
So, yeah, that might be a thing that's happening.
Yeah. So, speaking of renting things, did you hear that Redbox now offers games so you can walk up to your local Redbox and just waltz out with a game? Or waltz
so,
out?
So you're saying they stole our idea, right?
That's exactly right. Literally, like, 2 weeks or so before we said it. Or after we said it. Excuse me.
That's ridiculous. Somebody's you know, listening in on all of our conversations. Because you know we have our finger on the pulse of the gaming community.
It's very true. We really do. So, yeah, my first Redbox game rental was none other than Duke Nukem Forever.
And how was that, my brother?
Dude. Words cannot describe the shit-tastic voyage that is that game. Like, I don't even know what to say to you. I have held back the past few days talking about it, but I can no longer contain myself. So, you know, it starts off exactly like the demo from PAX.
Mm-hmm.
If you saw that, where you walk up and then you there's like a whiteboard and you draw a dick on it or whatever, because everybody draws a dick on it, and then you fight the big alien dude, and you know Duke just says a bunch of crap and says, "Ah, Duke Nukem's back, bro," and then so let's see, where does this go wrong? Okay, so you know how. Originally, Duke Nukem, it was just, like, funny because it was just so over the top. It was like, this cannot be serious because this is so over the top and ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, all of the supporting characters in this game worship the ground he walks on. Like, they take it to the next level to where they are seriously trying to make him come off as this huge badass that everyone worships. And it's like, okay, this isn't funny.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
The whole thing is, like, most people ignore him, right? I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like the news, even on, like, Duke Nukem 3D and stuff, like, the news and all that, it doesn't talk about Duke. It's like not like, oh, save us, Duke.
Although, dude, that's all they do. Like, you see the new, you start off in his, like, mansion or something, and he has, like, a museum dedicated to him, and all these people, like, want your autograph and just stuff like that. And it's just like, what in the hell? I don't even know.
Although I do have to say, Duke Nukem 2, I think it started out, like, he was on, like, some talk show or something, and then they're like, oh, Duke, you're the only one that can save us, or something like that. But, I mean, I don't think it was that level of, you know,
fellation. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Like, although, the one funny thing that made me laugh was when this one gun that you get, you start off with 69 ammo, of course. So... I don't know. It's just like everything just feels so clunky. Like the game feels like it is 12 years old. And I don't know. Like honestly I don't remember I don't know how far I got in the game, but from what I played, it literally feels like a bunch of developers threw a bunch of code in a box and shook it up and then pulled it all out and taped it together and here's the game. Like it's ridiculous.
Did you play on 360 or the PS3?
On 360.
Man.
And it was just, I mean, there were frame rate drops all over the place, which I mean that kind of stuff I can get over, you know, whatever, but it was pretty ridiculous when after 20 minutes I get shrunked-ed. I'm small. Yeah. I'm small Duke. And then this kid's like, oh, Duke Nukem, you can ride around in my RC car. And so you get in this little RC car, and you are freaking driving this little cocksucker around for at least 30 minutes. And it is just the dumbest thing. And then once you get out, you have to do something else to progress. You have to, like, find a switch or something. So it turns into a platformer, and you start first-person platforming.
What?
With the clunkiness that is this game to begin with,
So you're doing this platforming stuff, and it's just ridiculous. It is so ridiculous, and that's just the gameplay alone. The level that I stopped playing on, you're actually in the alien hive or something. I don't even remember how I got there. I just remember randomly being in the alien hive, and they're all the babes are there, and of course they're all topless, and they're being infested with aliens. Jim Sterling put it as they were being raped by huge alien cocks or something like that. But they're all being infested by aliens, and it's like this most disturbing scenario because of the screaming that they're doing, the noises they're making while this is going on. Mm-hmm. And then you have to beat them to death to kill them so they don't like turn into a bunch of aliens. So it's just like and then there are boobs on the wall that what? You walk up to and snap. Not joking. And then the boss is this giant alien queen thing with three tits.
Yeah, that's
and it is just like the $2 that I paid to rent this, it was, I don't know, is a little much.
That's just ridiculous, man.
It was ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
I mean, if from as bad as you describe it and like some of the reviews I've read of it, I mean, how is it not like seriously, I mean, I know that, like, you know, everybody's saying, oh, it's bad and it's got bad reviews and stuff, but how is it not, like, just completely bombing?
I mean, because people want to be a part of history. They buy Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah, because, like, I'm on Metacritic. An average score for Duke Nukem. Oh, wait a second. Let me. That's actually average score for Gearbox. Okay, now maybe I'm wrong. I looked at Metacritic too early. Now there's a lot more in it. Average score is 55 out of 100.
Mm.
Average user score is 6 out of 10.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those games that, like, if you just, you really want to enjoy, if you can just kind of, I don't know. I mean, it feels like it's 12 years old. It feels like they tried to pick up on, like Yahtzee said, like they try to pick up every kind of first-person shooter over the past 12 years and jam it into one game.
Yeah, like that was the PC version. I just went to the 360 version, and it's 49 out of 100.
Oh, wow.
And the user score on that's 3.9, so I don't know, maybe that one's even worse, like...
I mean, yeah, the controls feel really clunky because I did play the PAX demo on PC,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's the demo. It didn't feel bad as far as the controlling. It felt like a first-person shooter, but you know, it was just the demo was lame. It was a bad demo, and I thought, oh, maybe it's a bad demo. Maybe the game is better, but no, the controls just feel really clunky. It feels like a port, basically.
Well, it is a port. It's like a time capsule port.
Right.
Wow. That's just ridiculous. I mean, I felt that they were just going to completely scrap anything that came before and they were going to, you know, just do everything from the ground up. But I mean, from the sounds of it, that they absolutely didn't, that they just took what was there and went with it.
Yep.
I can't believe that. I mean, I understand from a business perspective when not investing the extra time as far as, like, you know, okay, well, why redo work that's already been done? But when it's – if it's that – I mean, these people have to know that it sucks, right? They can't think that that's awesome. How can you play that and think that it's awesome if it's as bad as everybody says it is? I mean, they were totally just trying to cash in on the name, and that pisses me off more than anything.
And I am usually good. Like, if I want to like a game, I can usually fake myself out slightly enough to where I'll, you know, actually kind of enjoy it. But, like, it was painful. Like, this game was painful.
I mean, you know, I have to play it still. It's like...
Yeah, you need to play it. And, you know, there were some cool things, and I can't think of any off the top of my head. But, I mean, I don't know. You need to experience it to kind of understand what everybody's saying.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably... Whenever I start Gamefly back up, I'll probably rent it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get it on PS3 to see if it's any more wieldy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's disappointing, man. Like, that's... It just sucks. I mean, I'm glad that it's over, it's out. People aren't going to be talking about Duke Nukem Forever anymore, but...
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. I guess it would have been one thing, like, if the game had been hyped for 12 years or whatever, and then it was released and it didn't meet expectations, just because it, you know, it's been hyped for 12 years.
Sure.
But, I mean, it just isn't good. So, it's like double whammy on that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like, so you're saying, like, it's not even good if it was any game, not just Duke Nukem, if it was like, you know, right. X Alien Shooter 7.
Yes, right, exactly.
That's lame. That is super lame, dude. And, you know, honestly, why? Oh, okay, I'm not going to. I was just going to say, man, 2K needs to get their heads out their rear ends, because that's just not right. I mean, you know that they published it just so that they can cash in on the name, and that's just, oh, that's low. That's super low. Okay, let's move on.
Next.
One thing that this is strange, and this is going back to talking about Rainwave, but so, you know, I listen to Rainwave a lot, and you know, you do too, and you hear a lot of music from games that you've never played before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I probably, you know, 80% or more of the music that you hear on there's a game, for me, is for a game I haven't played before. And, you know, I like really get into the music for the music's sake and not knowing context or anything like that. But I just, the other day I was sitting here and I fired up that DS that I got from you, and I started playing Mega Man ZX.
Yeah.
And like one of the songs in there came on. I was like, I know this song. Why do I know this song? And then I realized it's a song that comes on Rainwave a lot. I was like, man, that's badass. So, you know, it's funny because that music wouldn't have meant really anything, or at least not. I mean, it's a good song, but it wouldn't have, like, struck me very much had I not already known it. And it was a really surreal kind of feeling. And I think that's awesome because, like, it's like Rainwave is enhancing my experience of games now because...
Oh, man.
Way into this music, and then when I hear it in context, it's that much more emotional and that much more engaging.
Yeah, like when I saw Star Trek, the newest Star Trek, the first time, and then I listened to the soundtrack constantly until the movie came out. When the movie came out and I watched it again, it was just this whole new experience because I knew every single thing that was happening in the soundtrack, so it just accented everything that was going on even more.
Yeah, that's awesome. And yes. So I'm hoping to get some more experiences like that because, like, I, you know, I'm not a super huge Mega Man fan. I mean, I like Mega Man. I like the Mega Man games, but I'm not a Mega Man fan to the point of, like, I don't even know what ZX is about. I don't know when it takes place in the universe.
Yeah, me neither.
So it's like, I'm not that much of a Mega Man fan, but I mean, I think it's cool to be in a game that I'm not super into the series, like, have that kind of experience. I wonder what mm-hmm. it's like if it's more of a type of series or a type of game that I am really into, like, you know, like a role-playing game or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cute. Cool. Yeah. So what about you? Got anything else going on?
So I got a beta code for Missplosion, man.
Oh yeah, yeah. You said that was pretty good, right?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's like the original Splosion, man. It wasn't exactly like Comic Jumper, and like the presentation didn't feel huge, but the presentation of this game just feels huge, and I have tried to refrain from using the word epic as much as possible so that it retains its epicosity. but it's just epic. Like, everything that happens in the freaking first level of this game, like, it gets released, like, July something in 3 weeks. Like, the first or second week of July. But you should definitely download the demo for that and just play, like, the first level. It's just like the most epic thing I've ever played.
Really? And
yes. I know that's hard to believe.
It's very hard to believe.
Considering the content, like, of the game.
Exactly.
It's just the way they present it. Like, they are so awesome at presenting the simplest concept in the greatest ways.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. Cause
yeah.
That's pretty high praise.
Yeah, and it's funny. Because she, as she's walking, she says stuff. Like, when she kills someone, she says stuff. And it's half the time, it's like quoting some stupid girl band, like Spice Girls or something like that, but just the way she says it is so funny.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, it is an awesome game, and Twisted Pixel, they're my heroes. And there, did you see that Gunslinger game?
Yeah, the one you're gonna do with the Kinect or whatever.
Yeah, they got promoted to retail status.
Really?
Yeah, so that's their first actual retail game.
Wow, I mean they deserve it.
Yeah.
Who's publishing it?
I don't know.
Hmm.
That's a good question.
Hope they don't get screwed over with like bad marketing.
Yeah, really. But yeah, that apparently is gonna be one of the first like real core gamer games. For Kinect.
Yeah, I'm sure that's probably why they did go retail with it, because they're thinking, you know, well, they're an established studio now. They've proven that they can do stuff. Not that they hadn't separately before, right. But together they are now. That's pretty cool. That's good news, because, like, you know, studios like that are the ones that need to be, you know, driving the industry. Not, I mean, I'm not trying to talk bad about ones, but, like, not Infinity Ward and you know, people like that.
Yeah. Just modern cash cow Fords.
Just my opinion, but
yeah. I don't know. I mean, they all came from big developers and big publishing companies and stuff like that, so they all know how crappy all that stuff is, and so they wanted to make their own rules, and hence Twisted Pixel.
Well, there you go.
So yeah. Speaking of Kinect.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
The new 360 dashboard update, they're introducing these sweet new ads that you can go to.
How ridiculous is this? Because like, I was talking about how I just hate ads on the dashboard.
And so they feature them even more now. So you go to the ad, you can watch the ad, like it's there, and then you hover your hand over it, and then it blows up the ad really big, and so you watch it, and then you say, Xbox, tweet! It pulls up a thing and says, I'm about to tweet this ad to all your followers. And then you say, okay. And then it tweets the ad to everyone. It says, hey, check out this awesome ad. Actually, the tweet that I saw, I literally think it said, check out the awesome music on this ad or something like that. And it was like a Coke commercial. She's like, what?
Like, oh.
Who in the hell is going to tweet about a bunch of ads?
I don't even know. I don't even look at them. I try my best not to even put my eyes in their direction.
What are they thinking?
Why are they touting this as a feature?
I don't know. And
why did
the video that I watched, it was so stupid. The guy was like so excited about it. He was like, this awesome new feature of the Xbox dashboard. It's like, oh yeah? Feature
for all of the people trying to advertise.
Feature up my butt.
That's the thing, is like, that's there to get people excited about advertising on it, but it's like nobody who isn't going to be advertising gives a flying shit about it.
Yeah, seriously.
That's just ridiculous, though. I can't I cannot put into words how offensive that is to me. You know, I'm paying you for the console, right? And then I'm also paying you for Xbox Live access, although I'm not. But, you know, there are people who are. They shouldn't have to deal with any ads, you know, let alone be featuring stuff where they're, like, trying to draw you to look at ads and use the ads more. It's, you pay for a service so that you don't have to, you know, look at ads. That's,
I mean, it's one thing if they're featuring like a new game that came out or something on XBLA. And, like,
oh, exactly, dude. I mean, if it's like, you know, like, hover here to watch the trailer and then like tweet the trailer. Okay, that totally understand that.
Yeah, or Coke, a Coke ad. What the F is that doing on the Xbox 360 dashboard?
I'm pretty sure that if you're on the Xbox 360, you don't really need to be introduced to what Coca-Cola is.
Seriously? I'm gonna watch it in high definition!
Coca-Cola, oh my god, what is that?
Oh, damn.
Is that kind of like Faygo? Okay.
Oh, man.
Not going any farther than that.
Oh, I'm sweating. I'm so pissed off right now.
Dude, it's it. This is the pissy episode.
Anyway.
Oh, man, but back to, like, the DS. So, you know, like I said, I was playing the Mega Man ZX game, and then so I loaded up, I don't know, there's some Sonic game that, what was it, Chronicles or something like that?
Oh, is it the RPG game?
I guess it, yeah, because I'm talking to people and stuff. And so, like, you know, I get through the whole beginning sequence, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is kind of lame a little bit, but all right, I'm willing to see what happens. And this goes back to my whole, I don't think there should be talking in a Sonic game, but there was a lot of talking and there was not very much being said, you know, so that kind of was dumb. But so then I finally get to the point where I'm controlling Sonic and I'm like, okay, finally I'm going to move.
Okay.
So, I press the D-pad and nothing happens. What? Okay, so maybe I didn't press it hard enough, or maybe I just, you know, glanced it. So I pressed down really hard on it. Nothing happens. Okay, maybe the controls are, like, opposite, you know, and, like, I'm at the edge of the map that way, and I have to go press the other direction. So I press the other direction. Nothing happens.
I think I know what you're about to tell me.
I had to pull out the stylus.
I knew it.
To touch the
That's screen. Why I stopped playing that game immediately.
Oops, Sonic the Hedgehog in this game. What?
Oh, God.
And then, you know, I press the little button that pops up to make him jump on this ledge, and then he walks up to one of the loops, and I have to and he stops. He doesn't run through the loop. He stops at the front of the loop. I have to press another button with the stylus to make him run through the loop.
Dude, when they announced that game, they announced it was going to be a Sonic RPG game, and they said BioWare is going to make it. Everybody was like, oh, man, BioWare makes awesome games!
I thought when it was loading up, I said, BioWare, holy shit, that's going to be awesome! No.
Yeah. No. Oh, that game is ridiculous.
On the other side of that loop, some dude wanted me to help him chop wood.
Oh, suck my dick, whatever.
And that's when I turned it off.
Yeah, that game... That's a game right there. Not in a good way either.
No. Mm-mm.
Speaking of Sonic games, there's a Sonic's 20th anniversary is tomorrow, which would actually not be tomorrow by the time you're listening to this, but Thursday.
It may be today if I can get it.
Sweet. Yeah, so it might be today if you're listening to this on June 23rd. But yeah, they're releasing a Sonic Generations demo tomorrow on PS and XBLA.
They couldn't get their shit together so they could release the full game, huh?
I guess not. That would have been pretty epic.
So so what are you going to do to celebrate?
Play the demo.
Well, I guess that's good enough.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, am doing nothing.
Yeah, well, you can go play Silent Hill or something.
Probably won't be doing that, but
Or you should just rent Duke Nukem Forever and play that.
No.
Because it's an awesome game. Like, it's its development. It took place over about, like, half my life.
That's so ridiculous.
And it sucks ass.
But that's not true. Development did not take place over all those 12 years. I mean, you know, yeah.
Dude, they were coding hard, man.
Like, every second of every hour of every day. They had code monkeys on it.
Trillions of lines of code. It looks like Windows, except more spaghetti than that. I don't even want to know what the code of that game looks like.
They had to compact it and minify it to get it on the disc.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Anyway. So, yeah, that's bullshit, dude. I mean, why in the world should I have to touch the screen to move a character when they're perfectly good D-pad, you know, right next to the screen?
Yeah, I don't know. God, I hate that crap. I despise those gimmicks that they put on those consoles. I mean, it's cool. You know, every once in a while you can, like, touch the screen to do something or whatever. But when they overuse that stuff like they do on half the games that exist on the Wii, it just makes me want to claw my eyes out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I am right there with you, dude.
That Wiimote shaking crap gets really old quickly.
That's I'm going to be completely honest with you. Aside from, like, that's the one reason that I don't even feel like playing Donkey Kong Country Returns anymore. I'm tired of that blow shit and then rolling and all that. No, I don't like it. But, and you know what? I'm going to go so far as to say I'm going to make a bold statement here, and hopefully I don't have to eat it later. But unless, I'm going to give one exception. Unless they come out with an exclusive Silent Hill game, I will not be purchasing a Wii U.
Yep.
And then even if they do, I still might not.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I'm really just kind of waiting until the next E3 to have any opinions on that thing. Because that got ultra lame when I heard that you can only have one controller attached to the console at a time.
That's so dumb. I mean, the only thing that's good is it solves the problem about the controller being too expensive.
Oh, and you know that they did that. You know that if you do have to buy two of those cocksuckers are going to be like $150, $200.
Oh, dude, totally. That's why they're doing that. I mean, yeah. Because they don't want people to be like, oh my god, I have to buy two of these?
Uh-huh.
Because that's the... Because they dug themselves into that hole, right? Where, you know, like, they only include one controller in all these games. You know, parents are buying it for their two kids and they want to play together. Oh, they have to buy another controller. And they're in that frame of mind, and then the new console comes out and they're like, okay, it only comes with one touchscreen controller, so we have to go buy another touchscreen controller.
Man.
$400!
Oh, dude, I don't know. And the fact that, I don't know, the tech demo that I saw, like, it looked good, but it didn't look like it blew my eyes out of my head or anything. It was just like, okay, it looks good. But, I mean, it doesn't look like next generation.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing is that they're trying to sell it as a console that can fit within the way that people live as a family.
Man.
Meaning the whole thing, you know how like you can turn the TV off and play the game straight on the controller. You don't have to have the TV on necessarily. Right. So somebody can be watching something else on TV. That feature means less than nothing to me, because the TV that I play games on, that's basically all I do on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch movies, but I mean, nobody's going to be watching movies when I'm playing games, because Lindsay's not really a big movie watcher.
Yeah. Man. I don't know. It's just, I have a feeling that they are going to rush that thing, and it's going to get slaughtered.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I mean, they have to make a bold move, right? Because if not, they're just going to get left in the dust anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like they're behind a generation, since basically all they did with the Wii was just re-release the GameCube with a new controller.
Well, the thing about the Wii U is like they're trying to play both hands. Really, they're trying to bring, you know, obviously this is what they're saying. Oh, we're getting the hardcore gamers back. Blah blah blah. Whatever. I mean, they're trying to do that, but on the other hand, they're not trying to directly compete with the Xbox or the PlayStation platforms, because they are not forsaking this whole image of a family console, a family system, family, which, I mean, obviously their first system was the family computer.
Right.
That's obviously Nintendo's focus, but it's kind of like they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. You know, one side they're like, yeah, we care about hardcore gamers, and the other side, yeah, we care about the family experience. So
yeah, right.
I don't think you can have your cake and eat it too with both of those. You know, you have to pick one or the other. And I think both Microsoft and Sony have proven which one is the most viable for long-term dedication to a platform. Because obviously the Wii, you know, sold all kinds of units because of the mass appeal of it. But the people who bought that don't understand that this is an industry where every 3 to 5, 6 years you're buying a new console.
Right, exactly.
They're like, I got my Wii. I can play my Wii. Wii U? Oh, well, I have a Wii already. I don't need a Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's
exactly right.
And the fact that they're not completely giving up that crowd, they're going to try to hang on to that crowd, maybe the thing that undoes them.
I don't know. I feel like Nintendo is in their own universe. Like, they don't really truly care what Microsoft and Sony are doing. They just seem like they are in their bubble and they are doing their thing, and Microsoft and Sony are attacking each other and doing all of this stuff, but it's just like Nintendo's doing their thing.
I think you're right, and I think that's what's kind of allowed them to sort of stay out of the sights of Sony and Microsoft.
Right.
You know, because they don't see them as direct competition, because, you know, Microsoft and Sony do really tout themselves as a hardcore gaming platform. But I think that, like I just said, I don't think that the crowd that Nintendo really is shooting for with the family side of things is the crowd that's going to sustain them as a company.
Yeah.
Because that's just not the way that, because I think they're losing a lot to, like, the mobile gaming scene. Because, I mean, a lot of those people don't really care about super intense graphics. They just care about a fun game, a time waster. And then the fact that they could carry it with them makes it even that much better.
Right, right.
So, I don't know. It's definitely a complicated situation. And I'm not saying I want Nintendo to go away, because, you know, I love Nintendo games. And I've Super Mario Brothers was the first video game I ever played.
Yeah, me
and,
too.
And so, you know, that's a special place in my heart, and I like Nintendo games. I like their you know, main IPs. So I think Nintendo could have a lot. I think we may have sort of touched on this before, but I think Nintendo could have a lot of success just as a you know, a video game publisher and developer.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
With as many good titles as they've come out with, and I think they have the potential to come out with even more good titles, but I don't know. I don't know if the console is really where Nintendo's going to be in the future. I mean, I don't think the console's really where any of those people are going to be in the future. Honestly, I mean, I don't think Microsoft is going to be able to draw out the console paradigm any longer than it would have been around anyway, and same for Sony. I mean, Sony's just basically Microsoft and Sony are keeping each other in it, and like you said, Nintendo's in it because that's just kind of what they do.
Right, that's what they do. Yeah. Man, I don't know. The next couple of generations are going to be interesting. I think next generation is going to be interesting.
Yeah, the next one will be, but I think... I think the one after that's the last one. It's going to be the last console generation. After that, it's going to be some sort of distributed gaming or something like that. I mean, whether that's good or not, you know, you can make arguments either way, but...
Oh, man, that is weird. I don't know if I can handle that.
Yeah, it makes me a little nervous, too, but... Okay. There will never be 100% purely distributed gaming, because nobody can force anybody to, you know, buy into a distributed platform.
Mm-hmm.
But they can make it extremely appealing.
Right. Exactly.
Especially if Call of Duty 8, you have to, you know, play with a dumb terminal console and it plays on some server somewhere else.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I don't. We could talk about that forever. Maybe
I think
we'll talk about some other
stuff. It's gonna end up being, instead of console wars, it's gonna be like Steam versus all these other services.
Oh, so it won't be versus. It won't be versus, because the thing is, they'll start signing exclusive agreements, right? Well, I mean, either it will be versus, and they start assigning exclusive agreements, and so they use exclusivity agreements for you to get for one or the other. But the thing is, why is there competition if the platform's free? You don't have to pay anything to use Steam. You just buy the games. So that's why, exactly. That's why it's kind of scary, right? Because maybe in 10 years, Valve starts charging, okay, if you want to play your Steam games, you have to pay $10 a month.
Yeah, what the F? All the games I've already bought just disappear? That's some horse crap.
Yeah, exactly. I mean...
Okay, this is pissing me off. It's pissing me right off.
Dude, we should do a whole podcast on this sometime soon.
I'm
serious, because it's actually... It overlaps with a lot of the stuff that I've been, you know, reading and thinking about lately as far as, like, software in general.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be an interesting topic to talk about.
Freaking titty heads.
So, what about that 3DS thing you got going on over there?
Oh yeah, the Ocarina of Time. It's pretty awesome. I mean, it's the Ocarina of Time. It's one of my favorite games ever.
It's one of the best games ever.
Yeah, graphically, it's freaking incredible looking, and it makes my pantyhose moist just the thought of playing it.
So, like, the graphics are updated? I don't know anything about it.
Oh, yes, the graphics are way updated. Like, basically, all the graphics are redone.
Like
it looks like a completely different game.
So, like, give me an idea what the graphics are like. Are we talking about, like, you know, I don't know, Wind Waker? Is it, like, cel-shaded?
No, it's not cel-shaded. What does it look like? I would say that it has the graphics of like an early Wii or early GameCube game.
So more like Twilight Princess, or I know that's not an early.
Yeah. Not quite as detailed as that, but yes, that look and feel.
Man, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So, and a lot of they just do things differently. Some of the camera angles are different. That coming from somebody who's played the original one 1,000 times. So
the truth comes out, the real one.
Sorry, jeez.
Well, if you didn't play it on a gold cartridge, it's not the real one.
Right, that's exactly correct, sir. But the fact that this game can be in my pocket is freaking incredible. Like, never once in a million years when I was originally playing it did I think that I would be carrying that game around in my pocket eventually.
That's what she said.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's not really much to say about it other than the fact that, you know, it's Ocarina of Time.
It didn't change the game at all? I mean, I know you can do the Master Quest, right?
Yeah. They fixed the Water Temple glitch. Did you ever hear about that?
I don't believe so.
Oh, dude, that was a glitch in the original game in the Water Temple. Basically, I never did it. I had no problems with it. But some people actually, you do something and like a door closes and it just completely breaks the game. It locks you in a room and you cannot do a thing and you have to start the entire game over.
Oh, that sucks. Don't get me wrong, but I thought you were going to say it did something like to the ROM or something. Like where like you literally couldn't play the game.
Oh, dude, that would be a game changer.
Dude,
oh, man.
Can you imagine?
Oh, can you imagine the damage control on that one?
But that's bad enough, though, man, because that's pretty far along in the game.
Yeah, that's like towards the freaking end of the game, and you have to start over. Woo!
Oh, man. So many good memories with that game.
Yeah. Man, I freaking love that game.
I can't believe how awesome it was for the time.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Hey, guess how old it is, bro?
It has to be more than 10 years old.
Uh-huh. I forgot if it's 12 or 13. But that just goes to show you that a game that's 13/12 years old can be good when it comes out.
Oh, shit, dude. And that's the thing. Here's the thing that pisses me off beyond belief. If a game came out tomorrow at $60 that was as good as Ocarina of Time was and still had the same kind of graphics as Ocarina of Time did, I mean, like original N64 type graphics, and it was a brand new game, $60, but I knew it was going to be as good as Ocarina of Time, I would go buy that thing tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would have no problems. I would have no regrets about it. That's the thing that pisses me off, is that it can be done, and with the amount of money that these companies are spending making games, it should be being done over and over and over and over, and it's not. Why not?
Man, I do not know. I mean, that's all the arcade games and stuff that are on there. They're the lower budget games. Like, so many of them are freaking awesome, but, you know, nobody... There aren't really that many people that buy that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it's
out
like...
The grand scheme of things. I don't remember what the percentile is for Xboxes that are actually connected to the internet that do things, but it is something ridiculous. Like, it is not that much. Because that's what I have listened to an interview with this Twisted Pixel dude, and he was talking about the ridiculous percentage of people that are actually even on Xbox Live that have Xboxes that buy XBLA games. It's a very, very small number.
Well, that's because, like, and I keep going back and harping on it, and I don't mean to single it out, but it's like, everybody just wants Call of Duty, dude, and Gears of War, and all these stupid games. I mean, they're not stupid games. I mean, they're good games because I play them too, right? Because I like them every once in a while. But it's like, how did the system get so skewed towards stuff like that?
I don't know. And it absolutely infuriates me because platforming games, that's my favorite genre. And so, like, that just doesn't, like, last generation, that really didn't even exist.
Oh, dude, role-playing games are dying.
Mm-hmm, that too.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, I know there's this whole argument, and they were talking about this on, I don't know if it was Electric Hydra. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Electric Hydra. If it wasn't, it was Podtoid, but I think it was Electric Hydra. About how, you know, it would just be cost and time prohibitive to make a you know, full scale role playing game on a current generation console because of the intense graphics and the amount of it that's required to you know, do something that huge. But they've done stuff that's good enough. That's what they don't have. The problem is that they think that they have to maximize everything. No. You pick one aspect that's you're going to be your best aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And with a role-playing game, should be story. And then work around that. Because, I mean, you look at, like, this game, Lost Odyssey. I mean, I only played, you know, a dozen hours or so into that. I mean, it's like five or six discs on Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. And it's an awesome game, dude. I mean, the graphics aren't, like, world-ending. But it's just an awesome game. It's extremely well presented. Dude, it had me in tears within the first hour. Like, literally, I was crying playing this game. And just because of the story and the way that it's showing it to you and that you're experiencing it, it's so, you know, engaging and emotionally involving that you can do it. Why don't they do it?
I don't know. And every time they take a risk like that, like they did with Beyond Good and Evil or Enslaved and something, it doesn't sell because nobody understands it.
But that's the thing, is I think we're getting to the point where you don't have to take a huge risk like that. I mean, when you say, yeah, take a huge risk, I understand involved in like marketing or something like that. Mm-hmm. But If you can minimize your costs, if like absolutely minimize the cost as much as you can to get it out the door, and mm-hmm. you let people and then you let people, you know, talk to other people about it, you know, get in the hands of a few people who have a voice that carries, you know, a long way,
mm-hmm.
and then let the word of mouth do the rest. I mean, you can make an incredible game and people will find out about it. The thing is that people measure success using the metrics of the industry and they all, not just industry, but of business in general, you know, it's bottom line stuff. So, and they think that if you don't have some sort of minimum investment in something, there's no way it's going to return. But they don't understand that the way that sort of investment works. And I think actually Extra Credits makes a good point of this in one of their episodes. They point out that, you know, the people who are doing the investing in games now, the venture capitalists that do put this money up, they don't understand the market of games. They don't understand what constitutes good returns or what can motivate good returns in a game. And so it's just going to take time for them to start to understand that. But as more people grow up gaming, more people will be in positions to be the ones to do that investing that have a better understanding of gaming.
Right. Exactly.
But the thing is, though, if they get, you know, they come up in like first just, you know, gray alien first-person shooters, then that's all they're going to know, and then that's all they're going to invest in. So it's sort of like a feedback loop.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, it comes down to exactly what you said's not going on. You know, people like you and me getting on there and buying independent games, you know, we just all need to start doing it. That or just flat out wholesale rejecting the stuff that we don't want to see as, you know, the main bulk of the industry. You know, put our vote with our money. I guess that's my point.
Right. Man. I'm pissed off now.
Okay.
As if I wasn't before.
I think that's all the pissing off that I actually do for tonight.
We should get pissed off on the next podcast when we talk about something really piss-offable.
I think Donna's doing the next one.
Oh, yeah.
So.
She'll slap me around and call me Susan.
Maybe she can get pissed off.
Maybe.
So, okay, did you have anything else that you wanted to rant about tonight?
No, I think I got it all out.
I'm not
That's
even...
what she said.
I wasn't going to do it. All right, so I guess we're going to do another podcast. Well, there's no guessing about it. We are doing another podcast next week, and we will probably do some ranting on that. But I think that's going to do it for us this week. One more time, very quickly, orderoftier.com, your one and only, actually not one and only, but your centralized source for Order of Tier paraphernalia and information-analia on interwebs.
Through check the inner tubes.
The inner tubes, the series of tubes. Check it out. Check out rainwave.cc. Come hang out in the chat room.
Oh, man, I need to do that. I haven't been in there all week. I've been staring at this Flex stuff all day, every freaking day.
I know you haven't been in there, but I've been in there. I log in. I'm like, hey, what's up, guys? And then I go to work, and then yeah. I'm like so involved with what's going on. And then it's like lunchtime, and then I look over. I'm like, ha, 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 penis joke. And then I go back to work, and it's like, yeah. Oh, later, guys. I'm going home.
Yeah.
It's not all penis jokes, I promise. It's actually a very, very small ratio of penis to non-penis jokes.
Yes. Every once in a while, I'll glance over there, and there'll be something, and I'll be like, oh, and then I'll actually get in a conversation. But usually, every time I look at it, they're already talking about something. I'm like, okay, work.
Yeah, exactly. But it's cool. You know, drop in, talk when you can, just hang out.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good. Yeah, so until next time, this has been Jordan B. Sanders, and will be until I cease to exist. And I'm doing this podcast thing with Mike the Hammer K. Kludzinski. We'll talk to you guys later.
Deuces.